rather than read this view again, I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about what we're gonna do. Let me find the place that I want to be. You may have noticed that this morning I lit one candle while we were watching that video. By the way, that was my fault that Aaron didn't know that video was gonna be there. We had, when we came in this morning, we had two different presentations for today. We didn't know why. So I was concerned about, I didn't know what was happening, whether everything was as it was supposed to be. But you may have noticed that I lit that candle. That candle was lit last Sunday. That Sunday was the hope candle, because last Sunday was the hope Sunday in Advent. What does Advent mean? I told you last week. It means coming. Advent means coming. And the season that we're in, the church calendar, is leading us up to Christmas Day. And we are looking forward to, rather than saying we're looking back to the coming of Jesus the first time, perhaps even considering celebrating the fact that he's come in the person of the Holy Spirit, but also we are looking forward to his one day return. And this series today is based upon, these four Sundays is based upon the four Sundays of Advent. So we will go last Sunday, hope. Today is going to be peace. Next week will be joy and then love. Just if you're wondering where, what is the joy candle, the joy is that candle. Before I go any further, this is a test. You're being quizzed. There was a single phrase last Sunday that we looked at out of the book of Luke. Anybody tell me what that phrase was? Look at you, Rich. Wow. Nothing is impossible with God. And that's hopeful, isn't it? That's hopeful. Nothing is impossible with God. We expect, we live in our faith with an expectation that God is always going to bring out, or bring about, I guess I'd say, the very best. Nothing is impossible with God. Today, I'm going to show you another video from the, in fact, they get to watch three, but they're going to be very short, not as long. But they go along with what I've chosen to say to you, along the lines that come out of the phrase that we're going to use today. We'll get to it in a little bit. So with that in mind, let me end this. These videos are fictional. Keep that in mind. The videos are put together based upon what we think we know about shepherds. The Bible really doesn't tell us all that much about these particular shepherds, like it tells us a little bit about Mary, or about Jesus, or about his father Joseph, or maybe others in the story. So these are fictional, but I think they've done a pretty good job of doing it with your homework and putting this together for us. And here's the video. Let's watch and have a talk about it. Watch it closely. Now, something happened in that video that I hope that you picked up on. I hope that you caught the fact that everybody left when the shepherd showed up. Did you catch that? been a situation where you felt like everybody left, perhaps that you showed up? Why did they all leave when the shepherd showed up? Well, let me tell you a few things about shepherds. If you do a little research, you probably already know it. You would agree with me what I'm going to tell you. And by the way, as you know, when I went on my notes this morning, I'm reading it. I'm going to venture to say that everybody here, if you worked a position or a job in your life, you may have identified with a lot of these things about shepherds. See if it fits for you. First off, shepherds are considered to be very average, unspectacular, even uninspiring with what they have to do. But you've heard this phrase before, right? Somebody's got to do it, right? Secondly, shepherds were the poor of the poor. Probably never knew that or not, but I mean, shepherds literally had nothing. They were really out of the loop. Here's what I was talking last night about. You know, we saw a commercial where they were making fun of people that were born in the 90s. That's my kids. And we were so happy because most of the commercials today that make fun of somebody, like progressive commercials, make fun of my generation. And I looked at Jess and said, I'm so happy they're making fun of them now. She said, yeah, but that means you're irrelevant. Shepherds are pretty much out of the loop. I don't want to say irrelevant, but they spent their days, and remember I come with my dog, they spent their days with animals. They didn't talk to people a lot. Shepherds were a bit awkward because they spent their days with animals. Get this. They probably smell. You didn't have to have a college degree to be a shepherd. Shepherds were actually, if there was a caste system involved or a social ladder, they were down here at the bottom. And from a religious standpoint, from a Jewish standpoint, shepherds generally thought that they pretty much unclean because they spent their days with animals. Let me go back and ask you, did you notice that everybody left when the shepherd shows up? He comes home with dinner, get water, and everybody's there at the well, and suddenly everybody's gone. He is a social. No one talked to that shepherd. You might even think if you look closer, I'm going to ask you to look closer, that they kind of thought the shepherd was disgusting. Now let me ask you this question. Can you imagine what is going on with the people called shepherds? How they might have fought, I guess, an inner battle with the society of which they live. They've been dismissed, if you would, by everybody around them. They've been let them feel they are less than. Have you ever been dismissed? Have you ever had a place where maybe you were a little bit upset about how you've been treated in this world? For shepherds, it was a little bit worse. And I'm going to show you the next video to give you an idea of why. Remember where you are at. You're in the United States of America, freely worshiping God in a place that you can choose to come and go from. Watch this one really close. Yes. Do you believe in Messiah was free from the occupation?
Yes, he will make a great military.
Are you sure? Because lasciavate il priest per il profeta Ezekiel, and he did not say,
I'm there.
I'm sorry, teacher. He is obsessed.
You brought the sermon? I said spotless.
Spotless?
Yes. These are for righteous men, for the perfect sacrifice.
Very strong. Very strong. Very strong.
You wonder why the Messiah hasn't come. People like you, keeping him away with your stead. If you come back here without a perfect lamb, I will banish you all from the mountains. And I will come. Come. Shepherd was not only
only socially an outcast, but spiritually he was made to be an outcast. This is Romans 3:10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. What does that mean? I put a student on this story. Somebody, Eric, pointed out that I put on a student today. Somebody asked me, why did I do this? I got up this morning and I said, I'm going to go to with my Santa Claus tie for Christmas. Nobody mentioned my Santa Claus tie. The fact that I'm wearing a suit, you may or may not think, does not make anyone better than anyone else does. The fact that you were born on the high side of town and I was born on the low side of town in God's eyes does not mean a thing. You got to follow us. Look at what the scripture says. As it is written, no one is righteous. No one is righteous. In the old days, before she was in a nursing home, I said it this way, no one is righteous, not even my mother-in-law. Well, that's bad. You understand the point, we all. Look at what it says. What's that? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's talk about that. What do you get for being a sinner? Because we are all sinners. There's no one righteous, no one one. You get a paycheck. What's your paycheck? The wages of sin is what? We all get to die. It's one verb. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is something different. The gift of God is eternal life in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So even though we are all in this ship together spiritually in trouble because of sin. God knows it. He's done something for us. He's said to us, you don't have to take that paycheck. You can take the gift that I have for you. And that gift is not just life, but it's eternal life, life abundant in Jesus Christ. Romans says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Think about that for a minute. We have no business in church today, in our sinful nature. I've had people from my home not know that Jesus said that a prophet is without honor in his own country. Trust me, when I go back home, it doesn't matter how many suits or robes or anything or letters behind my name I give them, it don't matter. I'm still a kid from down on Michigan Avenue. Right? But that's what this is.
The troublemaker.
We all have sinned and have no right to stand in the presence of God. We fall short. We shouldn't. We shouldn't be in any other condition than the spiritual condition we're in, and that is.
I took a bunch of tanks with kids this year.
And not just dying. Please understand that it's eternal death, which means total separation from God for eternity. I've used this illustration before.
I just don't want these families that think everything has to come out of
home for
nothing.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to make a difference. I can't say what makes more difference than the other.
Where I grew up, it was from our part of town, right out back where the railroad tracks.
Remember, I saw kitchens. Many people were waiting for the camera.
One of those trains that's called
on Evie's feet. What's that? On Evie's feet? That was it. What
did you fly? It seems like I'm watching that train while I'm standing here doing dishes in my mom's kitchen, out the back window, and I got a glimpse of what eternity is like. Because that train seemed like it went on forever. Eternal death is just that. It's dying forever. No end to it. It's there for eternity. Total separation from God, as bad as it can get. And because we're all sinners, so we'll fall short of the glory of God. We've got no business in his presence, so we could spend eternity outside of his presence. That's hell. But look at this next verse. Romans 5:8 says this. God chose his love for us, and that while we're yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. What do you think about that? Total separation from God because of sin, but somebody loves us so much that he was willing to take our. That person was Jesus Christ. He went to the cross on Calvary. You've heard the story a thousand times on the Good Friday, and hopefully a whole lot more than that throughout the year in your life in Sunday school. But the truth is, God matter if it was you at 45 million other people or if it was just you. He loves you that much. And he was willing to die. He knew that the problem of sin was eternal separation from him. I have said to you folks time and again here that what is Christianity about? It's about relationship. God created us for relationship with him. But because of our choice of sin, it separates us from him. But he still loves us. Because he loves us, he died for us. He died for me. Here's a critical point. If we confess our sin, he's faithful. You're so shocked about justice. He's been for us. Justice. Here it is. He's faithful and he's just. He forgives our sin. He cleanses us from it. And on every, there's the news about who's getting pardoned right now, about who's going to get it for this long or that long, everything. Or say something about Jesus' blood. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Past, present, and future. That's how much he loves us. That's what his death did for us. So, church, when you talk about the shepherd being a social outcast, that's one thing you're not going to. Being a spiritual outcast as a shepherd means you're not going to make it into heaven. And my guess is that everybody here today can identify with this, not because you're a shepherd, but because you're a people. You're a human. We're really no different than that shepherd. Many of us do hop the wall, not physically, but spiritually. And God knows it. Can you imagine that I already asked you? What is going on in these shepherds' heads? What's going on in that shepherd's head that we watch today? What is it that's going through his head? And more than that, what's going through his heart? And most of you here today can identify that, and yet because we're human. You may not be a shepherd. You may have been a school teacher. You may have been a factory worker. You may have been an insurance salesman, a car salesman, a medical person, a nurse, or whatever it is that you did in your life. Or do, but you're still all like that shepherd because we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. And when you come to face the fact that we are sinners, that's when it gets real. When you really look at it and think about it for a minute, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've got no business standing in his presence. I've got no business to come and ask him for anything. Because I'm a sinner, but you are too. And so was that shepherd. And we all are. And without Christ, we're helpless. But Romans 5:8, God commends his love to us. That while we were still a sinner, Jesus came down from heaven and died on the cross because he wanted us. And he took our place for our sin. And when we confess our sins, he's a just God and he's faithful in that love and he will. Give us our sins and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For this shepherd and most shepherds of Jesus' day, things just got worse and worse. Until one day. And we read that day earlier. I want to read it to you again before we continue the message. In that same region, there were shepherds out in the field. If you watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Don't fear. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I gotta stop and say something like this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Isn't this great news of good joy, of good news of great joy for all the people? All of us. Unto you is born this day in the city of David is a Savior. His name is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find that day wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly it was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord, through these angels, has made known to us. I want you to look at one verse real hard to me. The angel said, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. All the people.
I can't let your lines.
All the shepherds, all the school teachers, all the car salesmen, all the factory workers, all the doctors and nurses, all the preachers. Good news. Great joy for everyone. Even shepherds and preachers. Shepherds had a social problem, but they had a much bigger spiritual problem, didn't they? And the angel came to say, I've got the answer. I've got the answer to this problem. In fact, I've got the answer to all your problems. It is the peace of God. Who would you, and I want you to think about this, who make a big deal of Easter? About the fact that it was the women that got to the tomb first. They were the first ones that knew that Jesus had risen. God has a shepherd, right? First. I think he was born this day, or this day, or this day, or this day, or this day,
or this day,
or
this day, or this day, or this day, or this day, or this day,
or this day, or this day, or this day, or this day, or
this day, or this day, or this day, or this day, or this day, or this day, or this day,
could have told their parents, could have told all the people of Bethlehem, could have went to the Pharisees and religious folks, said to them, hey, there's some actors that did take place because of all the prophecy. You understand what I'm saying? Could have gone to anybody. I know you are a spiritual outcast. I know the warriors lost the religious spot.
I know all of
those things about
you.
Just a
really cheap,
pretty
inch, smart. Couldn't have anything up there. Just a 19 inch.
You're not only
so
not overlooked.
That should work good.
Oh, yeah. You are number one in my world. And because you are number one, I am sending this Messiah into the world to die for your sins. So that the peace you couldn't have with those folks can be made. So that the peace that you couldn't have with the religious folks can be had. So that the peace that's missing in your life because of sin can be remedied. And you can have peace not only with them, but with God.
So, watching the latest season, the chosen that's out. They got to the point where Jesus goes to Lazarus the first time. He's still alive. And they're going to stay at his house. Walk up in Lazarus. Unannounced, bring these people here and you've been staying in my house. And so he just goes in for like a minute and all of a sudden he realizes he's joking. What system is that on?
It's because you move to Amazon Prime.
News of great joy for all the people, all the shepherds, all the Pharisees, all the people, all the sinners that have fallen short of the glory of God because they're not righteous and he is. Go and look, shepherds, and see what God's done for you. Notice that the swaddling clothes in that video were used by the blue of the armor of the shepherd. So it's a mind of a physical problem. Did you notice that that same shepherd who was Pharisee knew exactly who his child was? God in an instant, we've been waiting for him. And did you notice that all the things that were kept that shepherd?
He's on the move.
Outcast from society, outcast from God, seem to be stealing his mind and thoughts. Baumgartner said, the hopes of all the years have been fulfilled in his mind. But there was something else fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. And that was bringing the peace.
That's a good one.
My peace I am. Not the peace of the world, but my peace. There's something about the peace of Jesus that's different. And notice this morning, I mean, you got the presence of Syria on the mountain. You got war flaring up in Ukraine. You got hostages held in Israel. And for the last however many years, we've been at each other's throats in the press. And you know it's true. Beware of those that say peace, peace, when there is no peace. But on this night, this little baby seemed to have filled everything in that shepherd. And I believe he is filling you because the promise that Jesus gives is this. My peace is this. My peace I leave with you. Not the peace that a government can give you. Not the peace that the doctors note by your condition to give you, but the peace that he gives is different. It's a whole like that one. The hopes and fears of all your years are met in Jesus. He takes care of all your worries, your sin, your sorrow,
for this night. No, that's for the podcast. It's fine.
Oh.
Never mind. I should relabel that because this is really the sound out of this. But it creates a lot.
That makes sense.
One word is what I call my bottom line. I didn't have bottom line. Jesus came that they would find the peace within because he makes peace between. Let me stop and tell you that peace from heaven. Sin separates us from God. I already told you the message today. There is none righteous, no doubt one. We all sin and fallen short of the glory of God. We are separate from him. We have no business being with him. We have no business staying. What Jesus did for us. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That means we are now able to come into his presence. Because our sins are not under our scorecard, our sins are under his blood. And we've been washed and made new.
Those
so
candles
have peace
up there.
With God.
No, I think they only knew wicks.
We not only can come into what he has
they
all
are.
All
yeah.
We can have a relationship with him. But not only does God bring peace with him, he brings peace with others. Tell myself what I'm going to do this today, but I'm going to die. This is going to be so unlikely. People have worked in my life, and actually in yours, if you don't know it, are going to vote on something that's going to affect you, and it's going to affect me, okay? Sometimes things seem to be out of our control. Sometimes we go through times of transition, and things seem to be out of control. Church, I'm going to just remind you that for the next 29 weeks, there is not a vacuum being formed in Westbrook Park Church. There is a vacuum being filled by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we can't
retiring. Is he retiring? No, we can't do that.
I think more people need to hear
no, no,
this.
I think he's telling the people when they're voting whether to accept it or not. God,
cannot
I,
be at peace
I guess. Because it's 29
minutes. It's
6 months.
To work together.
So so it's
not
like there will be a change of ministry.
We're going to elevate life. We're going to share King. We are going to celebrate. We are going to
food
pantry. Which one did I miss? Night to Shine. We're doing preschool. We're doing wonderful work in this little community right here. You want to see it go down the tank? Let your pride, your ego, and your personal desire fill the vacuum. It's time of transition. Did you hear what I said to you? God came to give you peace with him, but not in church. He came to give you peace with each other. Don't mess this up. Everybody got it?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing God does, he brings peace with him. He brings peace with each other. But here's the one that's really, really important.
Come on.
He brings peace with him.
That's why we don't do it live.
I know. Did you hear me? He brings peace with each other. Some of us have lived a long time. We have celebrated Christmas. We have gone through Advent. We've done all the things we're supposed to do, lit the candles, sang the hymns, and did all the stuff we're supposed to do. But we've never really had the peace that passes all understanding. That only comes from a relationship with him. It doesn't come according to who your pastor is, or what songs you sing, or whoever you want to pin it on. It comes out of a relationship. Found through Jesus Christ. himself and us, between me and you, and you and each other, and this community. But more importantly, he can help you deliver yourself. Or in peace with you, won't you? Amen. Let's sing together.